It's Father's Day, isn't it? It's a great holiday, almost as good as Mother's Day. I have some people I want to introduce to you this morning. This is Mariella and Gordon Firchoff sitting in the front row here. And Barb and I have shared with you how the Lord brought us here. And, connected with belonging here, coming here, is finding a place to stay. And we searched around a bit looking for a place, and we came across these people. And we're renting a little basement suite from them. Now, here's the kicker of all this, why I'm telling you all this. As Gordon and I got talking, it turned out that we ended up knowing a lot of the same people. And some of the people that have been friends with Barb and I for years have been friends with Gordon for years, because we attended the same Bible school 35 years ago. Isn't that right, about? And we never even knew each other. But as we got talking, we discovered we knew about, must be 36 people that we know mutually, and yet have never heard of each other. And they have a prayer group in their home, and they were praying that the Lord would send a Christian couple to rent their place. And lo and behold, they got a preacher. And talk about the bonus round, eh? I trust you'll greet them after the service. But we're happy to be here together. We're happy to come together and to enjoy the Lord, the God of our salvation. And so this morning we want to worship Him in the spirit of truth and holiness. So let's do that this morning with all of our hearts. Vicki, come and give us some announcements now.
Conference. That's their fault. Should I talk? Oh, okay. And on July 12th is the Yaha trip, there's been a decision made that the church will be closed, so the service will just be in a different location, and that will be up at the Yaha. For people who have been there, they know where to go. If there's anybody that would like to go and wants to carpool, you can talk to us or find each other. And we will be giving maps out, so you're welcome to join us. It's a great day. Or if you want to come for the weekend, Dan and I and I think a few other people will be heading out on Thursday. And then Friday, there's hiking. You can ride. You can do nothing. You can sit around the fire. Saturday is when we have our big potluck on the Saturday night. And then Sunday morning, we have our service 11-ish. So July 12th will be closed here. And then Dale said you would like to announce something.
First of all, special thanks to Kurt back there, who has managed to get our services now put on Podbean, so you can listen to the service, you can tie in. I've got some cards made up, I'll leave back there with the website. You punch into that and you can check out the previous service. A funny note on that. Last Sunday when we did it, and it was the first time, the service was extremely long, so we had to clip it. So it clipped the front end of it to make it fit. So I went on the site this week, and it works great, except that the very first thing that comes on, because I clipped the front end off to make it fit, was Larry saying, "Dale, I thought you knew what you were doing." So have a listen. It's good. No. I'll leave these back by the computer for now, and if you want to pick them up so you can do that, you can just log on and listen to the service online. If you miss a week and you want to see what it was about, there it is. The other thing I want to mention, Kurt and I are, and we're proving that it's not a difficult job, but nobody's perfect either, right? We would still love to have one or two other people join our team so that, if we can't make it, somebody else can, or we can work on a schedule of three or four of us instead of just two of us. All the instructions are back there. It doesn't take that long to learn. And less time to muck it up, but anyway. So if you are interested and be willing to do it even once a month, that would be fantastic, or whenever you could. We'll talk to one of us. Okay? Thank you very much.
And one last thing I would like to extend from Lita to thank the congregation and all her friends for all the prayers and calls and concern for Alan. I think, as most people know, he is home. He's very tired. He would have loved to have been here this morning, but he just feels he's not quite up to it. And he would love to see people, and for short periods only. It's hard for them to say that, but he is tired. But he would love to see people if people want to phone ahead and make a time to come and see him. Thanks.
Now it's time to go into our praise and worship segment as we're praising. The worship goes on through the whole service. So please stand and we'll sing. We'll start with Thy Loving Kindness.
Thy loving kindness is better than life. Thy loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise Thee, thus will I bless Thee. I will lift up my hands unto Thy name. I lift my hands up unto Thy name. I lift my hands up unto Thy name. My lips shall praise Thee, thus will I bless Thee. I will lift up my hands unto Thy name.
So let's lift our hearts, and we'll be thinking about our Heavenly Father and our earthly fathers, and we'll sing, Father, Make Us One. This is our prayer for our church, our community, our homes. Father, make us one. Worship. We'll sing, For God So Loved the World. This is the Gaither style version. We'll sing this one through twice as well.
For God so loved the world, he gave his only Son to die on Calvary's tree, from sin to set me free. Someday he's coming back. What glory that will be! Wonderful his love to me. For God so loved the world, he gave his only Son to die on Calvary's tree, from sin to set me free. Someday he's coming back. What glory that will be! Wonderful his love to me.
Amen. Thank you.
Other churches practice an open communion. And an open communion is a kind of communion service where the communion is served to those people who are believers. So if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and if you've entrusted him as your Savior, then you are welcome to partake of this communion with us. There are no holds barred in that respect. Jesus belongs to everybody. And so if you've made your heart right with him, and you've committed your heart to Jesus Christ, we would invite you to participate in this communion service, even though you may be visiting here. It was upon the liberation of the concentration camps in Europe after the aftermath of the Second World War, there were thousands of refugee children that were spread all over, and they had no parents to care for them. And what happened is, they had no place to go, so they were collected into orphanages. And the Allied psychologists discovered a big problem. And that is that the children wouldn't go to sleep. They just would not go to sleep at night. And so one particular psychologist came up with an idea. He said, "We will feed the children their bread before they go to bed. And then what we would do is we will give them a loaf of or a piece of bread that they can just hold in their hands and go to sleep with it, but that was for the morning." And then all of a sudden, they had no problem. The children went to sleep. And that is something that's very similar to how the communion service affects us. The bread of Jesus, the bread that represents the body of Jesus Christ, is precisely that. Jesus promised us in Matthew chapter 5, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." And what we remember at this table is the Lord's death and resurrection. And if you have received this gift of salvation, this becomes a security that goes beyond words. Just as that piece of bread became security for those little children, so it becomes for us. And so this morning, as you take that bread and as you hold it in your hand, and as you take this cup, just allow the security of the Holy Spirit to envelop you, just as those traumatized children did. And your safety and security is in him, because Jesus is the bread of life. He will never leave you or forsake you, and you can rest in his assurance of peace. So would the elders come forward, and we will participate in the Lord's Supper together. Father in heaven, it is our understanding that these elements are for our enrichment and our spiritual healing. And so we receive them with joy and with thanksgiving. Enrich us, Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit. Make your life a part of ours, and make our lives a part of yours. Help us, Father, to walk in a manner that is worthy of you. We'd ask, Lord, this morning that you would receive our continued worship. Lord, make joy our crown and our hallmark. We have received healing of some of our members, Father, this past few weeks, and for that we are thankful. We worship you as our Creator, our Father, our Lord, and our Savior. And so, Lord, we want to commit the remainder of this service into your care and keeping, that you may be glorified, that you may receive our worship and praise. Now, Father, at this time, we would ask that you would receive our tithes and our giving, and may they further your kingdom. In the name of Jesus, amen. Okay, kids, come on up. How you doing? Hi, Emma. Hi, Jill. How are you?
You're your best friend.
You coming up here? Okay, nice. Boots. Eyes and Spider-Man and everything. Isn't that exciting? Yeah. What?
His boots are crocodiles.
I'm sorry, it isn't Batman, it's crocodiles. Okay, crocodiles it is. Yeah. Good. Today is a very special day. Do you know what it is? Go, Charlotte. Father's Day. Do you know what that is?
And now I use my mom and my dad.
Your mom and your dad. Yeah, so we've had Mother's Day, and now it's Father's Day. Mm-hmm. You got a pretty good father? Mm-hmm. Tell me about him.
He does good stuff.
He does good stuff.
My mom does laundry.
They do the laundry. Yes. And what else? What else? Tell me about your dad. Can you tell me about your dad? Have you guys all been sworn to secrecy or something?
No.
Okay. Well, do you want me to tell you about my dad?
Mm-hmm.
My dad, he drove a city bus in Calgary his whole life. Yeah. And he worked, he's not here today, but he even worked with Bill Bransma. They know each other. How about that? Yeah. And my dad also owned a trucking company. And I got to work on his trucks when I was growing up. And, you know, I feel a lot like you. I'm drawing a blank. Now, I'm a father. Did you know that? Did you know that I'm a father too? Yeah, I got two boys. One is David, and the other is Paul. Have a seat there. If you want to run around, go ahead. And my son, David, he has a boy. And his name is Marcus. And Marcus is in church with us today. And he's going to go downstairs and play with you. He's a little bit shy. But can you tell me anything now about your fathers? Tell me, Emma.
Mine is a very good waffle maker.
He's a good waffle maker? Okay, and? I know something else. He's a teacher. He's a teacher. So he's a teacher and a waffle maker. Does he teach people how to make waffles? He doesn't teach anybody how to make waffles. Well, we're going to have to change that. I'm going to have to get him to show me how to make waffles. Can you tell me any about your dad? That's him, all right. Yeah. Okay. Well, I think it's really precious that we have dads. And so let's treat them extra special today. But you know something? There's somebody else that is our father. Do you know who he is?
God.
God is our Father in heaven. And so we want to be extra thankful for our Heavenly Father. Don't we? Yeah. A lot of activity up here today. Let's pray and then you can go downstairs for children's church, okay? Father in heaven, we thank you so much that you are our Father, our Heavenly Father. And we want to thank you so much that you have given us dads that we can call Father. And Lord, we just ask you to help us to appreciate them every day and help us to live the way you want us to. We'd ask that you'd be with us now in Sunday school and that we would have a time of real enjoyment as we grow in you. In your name, amen. Okay, where you go.
Come on, Alex. Let's go.
Oh, those fathers are pretty good. We're going to sing Faith of Our Fathers now, and this song is about to some degree about the church fathers. In the history of the church, there have been many strong, wonderful men and women, of course, but we're thinking about the fathers today, who have stood up for the right, stood up for God and for Jesus Christ in the world, and sometimes to the extent of giving their lives. So as we sing Faith of Our Fathers today, let's think about the church fathers of history, perhaps the church fathers of today, and the fathers who have brought all these wonderful people here together today, and also our Heavenly Father. Please stand, we'll sing Faith of Our Fathers.
Fire and sword.
This morning's scripture reading comes from fifth chapter of John, verses 19 to 30. Jesus gave them this answer. Very truly, I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Yes, and he will show him even greater works than these, so that you will be amazed. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life to whom he is pleased to give it. Moreover, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Very truly I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life, and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life. Very truly I tell you, a time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. And he has given him authority to judge, because he is the Son of Man. Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done what is good will rise to live, and those who have done what is evil will rise to be condemned. By myself I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just, for I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me.
Wouldn't you like to know what God really thinks about you? What would he say about you? If Jesus was right here in bodily form and wasn't talking King James English or NIV syntax, what would he say about you? Perhaps you might find it hard to believe that God actually loves you as much as the Bible says it does, he does. You may know that as a fact, but do you know anything about his emotions and his character? How does God really feel about you? One of the most profound descriptions of God the Bible gives us is our Heavenly Father. What ideas come to mind when you think of God as your Father? Do you hesitatingly think of provision, protection, warmth, gentleness, tenderness, interest, and accepting approval? If not, then we should, because the biblical picture of God the Father is the most positive, beautiful and affirming character that we can know. But like it or not, we are all to a greater or lesser degree the victims of this world's sin. And like it or not, we all unconsciously attach our feelings and impressions of our earthly fathers onto God, our Heavenly Father. Good experiences with our earthly fathers will implant clear pictures of what God is like. Bad experiences will distort our concept of God's beautiful character, and we will view God as harsh, uncaring, unproviding, abandoning, or abusive. God intended that the home be the place where the nature and character of God be demonstrated, and we all grow to be like Christ. I have told my boys that where I am a good father, blow that up bigger, and that is what God is like. And I've told them that where I am deficient as a father, discard that, turn it around, or view it in the inverse, And that is what God is like. So many, however, have been failed by parents and fathers and have suffered such hurt and rejection they are just unable to see God as the loving, caring Heavenly Father that He really is. John Dawson of Youth with a Mission suggests that there are six areas where we need our concept of God as our Heavenly Father healed. And I would like to look at those with you this morning. The first is our concept of God's authority. Have you ever gone to someone's home and watched their dog's reaction to you? Some dogs sulk and tremble with fear or cower in timidity. Others are up in your face, dirty paws and all, tail wagging and tongue slapping your face. And then they run around the yard or the home just to come and do it all over again. Which dog do you think comes from a loving home? The browbeaten puppy that cannot be induced to trust? Or the hyper face washer mutt? It is authority that has left these dogs with such dispositions. How many of you tremble to go in and see the boss? Is he severe, brutal, tyrannical? Are you scared and intimidated by him? That is not true authority. And God is not like that. He is not harsh or vindictive, but rather gentle and kind and especially patient. He just loves it when you come to him, and he makes you feel like you want to be around him all the time. Because it is your fellowship that he desires more than anything else. Look at what the Bible says about God in Joel 2:13. He is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and abounding in love. You see, authority is based on love and trust. Authority, by definition, is simply to desire the highest good for those you are called to serve. I think I'm going to say that again. Authority, by definition, is simply to desire the highest good for those you are called to serve. It's to want their very best. If you are not loved or trusted, you have no authority. Consider how sad it is when Jesus, the most loving and trustworthy being in the entire universe, is rejected by men. Look at how he feels in Luke 13:34. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. Jesus weeps because of the rejection of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, because of her wound, pushes away not only the prophets God gave her, but ultimately the very Savior and God Himself. Our schizophrenia is self-evident. We run away from the one who loves us the most. Hosea 11:1-4. When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. But the more I called Israel, the further they went from me. They sacrificed to the Baals and burned incense to images. It was I who taught Ephraim to walk, taking them by the arms, but they did not realize it was I who healed them. I led them with cords of human kindness, with ties of love. I lifted the yoke from their neck and bent down to feed them. We need to be healed in our understanding of authority, especially the authority of God. We attribute to God all of the characteristics of other abusive authorities in our lives, just like the puppy we run away from one another or from the one who loves us the most. God has authority, all right, but he loves perfectly. And then secondly, we need to be healed in our concept of God's faithfulness. We may have experienced the abandonment of our Father either by neglect death or divorce, and inside have this nagging question, God, will you too go away? And we are left with hearts imprinted with distrust. Our hearts may be crusted with cynical thoughts of distrust, but God never changes, and He is an ever-present Father. Hebrews 13, verse 5 says, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Matthew 28, 20 says, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. And then John 10, 10, Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. God is faithful and can be trusted absolutely. He is ever present. He was there when you sat by yourself in the sandbox amidst a crowd. He was there when you sat alone in your bedroom and contemplating running away, or perhaps even worse. He was unapprovingly there when your father abused you by his own selfish free will. Excuse me, and God hurt for you more than you will ever know. As a loving father, his heart broke over you, and his image needs to be restored in our hearts. He is for you, he is with you, and he is not against you. How often as a child did you ever hear the words, don't touch that, or get off the furniture, or leave that alone, you'll break it. Don't come in here with your shoes on. We recognize, of course, that there's a place for respect and care of material things. But beyond that, as a child, we become bombarded with the insidious message, things are more important than me. We get the constant replay of that little tape inside, don't break the vase, but who cares if you get broken? God is not like that. God created a world of immense beauty and complexity, all for the purpose of providing enjoyment and exhilaration to mankind. God has no signs, don't pick the flowers or stay off the grass. God is not stingy or possessive of his property. He loves to open up his treasure chest to us every day. He grants surprises and shows us his love by the interest he takes in the details of our lives. In our materialistic world, we use people to get things. God uses things to bless people. He is a generous Heavenly Father, and he wants to bless you. Could I ask somebody to get me a glass of water, please, if you don't mind? And then fourthly, we need to be healed in our concept of God's affection. How often do you ever stop to consider how attractive you are to God? Do you think you are pretty or handsome? You are to God. He made you. He formed you and fashioned you in your mother's womb, and he loves what he has made. Do you realize your attraction? Have we listened to this world's definition of what beauty is? And have we allowed the world to define beauty for us? God wants you to believe him. You are beautiful. I'd like to ask you a serious question here. How many women do you think ever ask God whether or not he thinks they are overweight? Now, we already know that there are defined and rehearsed answers for husbands to the question. Honey, do these pants make me look fat? Closely linked to this issue of attraction is affection. Unfortunately, we've grown up in a world where physical affection is severely distorted and corrupted by sin. We live in a world where there is a hypersensitivity to how we show affection to our children. Now, yes, there is an appropriate way to show affection, but this hypersensitivity that we see today has become preoccupation. Fathers often do not display affection to their sons because of a false concept of masculinity. Boys are often taught just to suck it up. And also, it is a well-known fact that the most significant male relationship a girl has in her life is with her father. And dads, if you don't hug your daughters, the day will come when she will find someone who will. Jesus is the definitive of masculinity. Compassion is a byword to describe Jesus. God is affectionate, and so should we be. I remember when one of my boys came down with a case of pneumonia. And I can remember sitting beside the bed and worrying with a concern that I believe is unique to a father. Quite frankly, I was scared. How much more must our Heavenly Father feel affection and care for us? And then fifthly, we need to be restored in our concept of God's attentiveness to us. When a child is raised in a home where he is not given the attention of his parents, he or she becomes a perfectionist. They're constantly attempting to win the approval of parents. Such a child is constantly saying, "Watch me, Daddy. Look at what I can do, Daddy. Didn't I do good today, Daddy?" You remember the Smothers Brothers? Remember Tommy Smothers? "Well, Mom always liked you best." You may have had a father that showed favoritism, that showed partiality, but God is not partial. He loves you as much as he possibly can. After having heard of a particular excursion so often, it occurred to someone much later to check out the journal of Boswell. It was in The Effective Father that Gordon MacDonald wrote, "It is said of James Boswell, the famous biographer of Samuel Johnson, that he often referred to a special day in his childhood when his father took him fishing. The day was fixed in his mind, and he often reflected upon many of the things his father had taught him in the course of their fishing experience together." So after having heard of this excursion, somebody decided, "Let's check the journal out." And so they did. And turning to that date, the reader found only one sentence entered: "Gone fishing today with my son. A day wasted." There is nothing God would rather do than spend time with you. Any time spent with you is anything but wasted. God would drop everything to spend time with you. Time spent with you is a priority to him. 1 Peter 5:7 in the Living Bible, we read, "Let him have all of your worries and cares, for he is always thinking about you." But we rationalize. And we say, "There are 9+ billion people on earth. How can God constantly be thinking about me?" Well, look at creation. Let's look at that, look at creation just for an insight to this. Just a few weeks ago, I watched the PBS program NOVA on the building of the Hubble telescope. The revelations coming out of that project were astounding. They were able to determine that there are more stars in the universe than there are grains of sand on the earth. And Scripture tells us that God has named them all. Do you think a God like that doesn't have time for you? That very God determined to become one of us in Jesus Christ. He has time for you. The quartz crystal molecule, I may have shared this with you before, but the quartz crystal molecule vibrates at a rate of 9 billion movements per second. If God could create a molecule like that with 9 billion movements per second, I'm certain He has plenty of time for you. No, we can't explain it, but we can just accept it. God has you constantly on His mind and heart. The very hairs of your head are numbered, the Bible tells us. Now that's an accounting nightmare all on its own. But not to God. God is constantly, lovingly attentive to you. And then lastly, we need to be healed in our concept of God's acceptance of us. One day a woman was married to a very abusive husband, and he would leave her at home with lists of duties that she had to perform while he was gone. She would work day after day with no appreciation or affection from this verbally and physically abusive man. She was overworked and undervalued. Her health was affected, and she suffered terribly. And then one day her husband died. Not long after that, she met a genuine, loving man who cared for her and tenderly restored her wounded soul back to joy and happiness. One afternoon, she was vacuuming and humming a tune to herself. Then suddenly, her vacuum became clogged by something in the couch. And she pulled it out and removed the offending wad of paper that plugged the vacuum. And she sat down and opened it up, and as tears came to her eyes, she read the lists of duties her former husband had written out for her to do. But surprisingly, everything on that list she was doing, but out of joy, not out of coercion, freely and without lists, out of love and joy, she was keeping home. Not because she had to, but because she wanted to. And God accepts us just as we are. He lovingly restores us by love and full acceptance of us. His acceptance is not based on if you make the football team, or if you have money, or if you win, or if you're good looking. His acceptance is unconditional. God just plain likes you. We do not need to rush about in frantic activity to earn God's approval. This world is a world of rejection based on performance orientation. But the kingdom of God is a kingdom based on unconditional love. All we need to do is accept the truth about God for His blessings to be realized in our lives. Far too many people are trapped and enslaved by a harsh, demanding God of their imagination. But God is not like that. He loves, He hurts, He grieves, He hopes, and He wants you and all His best for you. God is our Heavenly Father. And the best testimony we can give of what God is like is by how we are as fathers. When we realize what God is really like, we will want to be like Him. We will want to emulate His character. George Turner once wrote what I think is the highest compliment a father could receive. My little boy came to me one day, placed his tiny hand in mine, and said, "Daddy, what is God like?" And I said, "God is like love and sunshine and all the good things you know." He smiled into my eyes and said, "Then, Daddy, God must be just like you." And so may we too be such fathers. Amen? Amen.
We're going to stand now and sing, "Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah." Let our musicians get themselves set up here briefly.
Then one day he found out that his wife was going to have no baby. So I prayed, "Lord, if it's your will, give me a little girl." He did. I was the first person to hold her in my arms. I looked at her and I said, "Lord, make her like her mother." And he did. She was loving and giving and so good and so kind. But then I realized I was getting left out. So I said, "Lord, make her like me." And he did. She can drive a truck and a tractor. She can load hay and strip tobacco. You realize what you're getting at? But But at the same time, she was opinionated, emotional, and hard-headed. So I said, Lord, that's enough of that. Make her like you. And he did. He gave her a desire to serve people. She loves people. She gave her life to being a nurse. She's brought people back from the dead. And she's held the hand of people and breathed their last breath. He gave her a heart for missions, and she's trekked all over the world. Pushed canoes up swollen rivers and lay on the floor while bullets whizzed outside so she could tell people about Jesus. But still, something was missing. So I said, Lord, make her happy. And she made me. You see that look on her face? I never saw that until she met you. And I'm grateful. Today I'm giving you the best thing I have to give. I just wanted you to know before I do that how hard me and God's worked to get her ready for you. So Philip, as I give her to you, I don't think you'll mind if I give you one little word of advice. Me and God's worked hard. Don't screw it up.
Brings tears to my eyes every time I hear it. Let's stand together. And now to him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen.